If you open your Bibles at page 1065, you'll be able to follow along just with what we're looking at. Now, I got four sons, and if I go out during the day and I want a job done, there's some very basic things that you need to ensure if you want that job done. Only give them one job. One job. Don't give them two jobs, give them one. And once you've given them the one job, give them very clear, simple instructions so that there's no mistaking about what it is that you want done. One thing, here's how to do it. Okay? One thing, do it. Now, I know if I come home and that's not done, it's not because they weren't able to do it, they didn't know what they were meant to be doing. It's not done because they couldn't be bothered or they found something else to be at when they should have been doing whatever it is that I've asked them to do. And the incredible thing that I find when I read the Bible is that it's exactly the same with God. Exactly the same. He gives you and me one thing to do and simple instructions on how to do it, okay? One thing to do, simple instructions on how to do it. And when I look out into Northern Ireland, that's where we're from, what I see is that the majority of churches aren't doing it, are doing it really badly. One thing. Let me read to you the one thing. Jesus has died. He's rose from the dead. He's about to go into heaven. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. One thing. And then he says, well, how do you implement that afterwards? He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. You have got one job as the church. Go into all the world, all nations, and make disciples. That's the only thing you have to do. Good job. It's called evangelism. That's the technical term for it. It's when you share the good news of Jesus with someone else. And let me just wrap that up for you, just as maybe you're unsure about what that is. The good news of Jesus Christ is that you and I are sinners. And you say, well, that doesn't sound very good news. We do things that are wrong day and daily. The punishment for those things that we do is to go to a place called hell for eternity. God says, listen, no, well, I love each of you so much. I'll send my son to die in your place. He'll take the punishment that's due for your sin so that you can walk totally free. Even though you're guilty, totally guilty, you can walk free. And this is open to everyone. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 says this, God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. This passage that we've studied today was a real encouragement to me during the week. I got a real buzz out of it when I was preparing it. It encouraged me in my evangelism. It's encouraged me just even to what to look for or see when I'm heading out of the house. And I've had help in that. I was reading a wee book by a fellow called Philip Moore, Straight to the Heart of John. Verse 34 says, look what Jesus says. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Let me read that again. I've sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. David, how would you fancy that in the farm? All you need to do is to weigh in sometime around about September and everything's sitting pretty. You just drive the combine round. Don't have to plant anything, spray anything, tend anything, look at anything. Just drive round, reap the rewards. That appeals to a lazy person like me, by the way. When I look at that, I think to myself, great. You know, I've sent you to reap what you haven't worked for. It reminded me a wee bit of Stranmullis College when I went to it. I went there as a technology and design teacher. But then when I got in, they said, listen, you need to pick a subsidiary subject. I said, what do you mean? You need to have a second subject that you can teach. I said, I don't like any of the other ones. And they said, well, you know, here's the list. And then there was a guy in the queue and he said to me, pick geography. The girl who takes geography, the head of the department, has a flat out in Tenerife. And she takes a field trip to look at rocks every year. You do a bit of morning's work and you have a week's holiday out of it. So I developed this love of geography all of a sudden. And ended up in the geography class, and it was boring, deathly boring, and I was duped into it as well, because the field trip took place in third year, and your subsidiary subject you only studied for the first 2 years. The best I got was a trip to an oxbow lake outside Lisburn on a heavy rain and winter's day. Terrible. But the one thing about the geography departments which I liked was that they loved their coursework. loved coursework, and they loved working in teams. And yet all of these pressing, really motivated, intelligent little girls sitting in Stanmillis, working as part of a team, and me in the middle of the team. Not wanting to do anything. And the thing was, it's a team effort. So whatever they did, I reaped the rewards of. So their marks were my marks, even though I was a lazy hallion and never contributed very little to what the group was. Others have done the hard work, you've reaped the benefit of their labour. Now, by the way, that's not a very appealing quality in anybody. A leech in a group at university is not appealing. Or even in football or anything like that, somebody that stands up around the goal mouth, lording it about just wanting to tap the ball in there, let everybody else do all the work, or in a rugby team or any of those other things. It's not very attractive. But it's what God is encouraging in evangelism. He's saying, listen, others are going to do the hard work. Others will do the hard graft. And I'll grant you, if you participate in this, the privilege of just nodding it into the net. Tapping it in. A glory run. And maybe these fellas are starting to think about themselves. You've got the disciples arriving back from town. Now, I want you to picture this. They've been in town. They've done the work. Jesus has sat on his backside by the well. All he has done is talk. He's done no work. They've went into town, got all the food. They've arrived back with all the food. And here's Jesus leading this young girl into a relationship with his Father that will last for eternity. How is it that Jesus, through doing nothing, is granted such success in his evangelism, and the disciples who are out doing hard work see none of that? Even though there's 12 of them, and they've met so many people when they went into town, Jesus does nothing. He meets one person, and he sees the whole village coming to Christ, coming into a relationship with him. How does that work? Well, what I want you to see in that it's not just because he was God. That's not the reason this happened that way. Chapter 5, verse 19, it says, I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever his Father does, the Son also does. So it's not because he's God that he's doing these things. And it's not that he's doing them through supernatural power that is unavailable to you. The same thing that he is doing is available to you. Chapter 14 and verse 12, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. You can do the very same thing as what Jesus did if you have faith in him. And so what we're going to look at today is our attitude towards evangelism, sharing this good news of Jesus. And what we're going to look at it to see what motivates us to do that job. What motivates us to go out and share the good news of Jesus with other people. Now, what's the difference between the disciples in this whole thing and Jesus? What's the difference between the two of them? They've went into town. There's a lot more of them. They've had more opportunity with more voices to be able to speak to more people who've met more people. And yet Jesus has one voice, does nothing, speaks to one person, and that goes to reach the whole town. Let me tell you what the difference is. Jesus had an expectation that his Father was at work. He expected that his Father was at work. If I go here and speak to this person, my Father is there and he's at work. The disciples, on the other hand, were on their holidays. Their travel time. They're on downtime. They're off. They're relaxing. They could forget about the baptisms they've been doing, the evangelism they've been doing. Now's the time for eating. Now's the time for traveling. Now's the time for relaxing. We're off duty. And look, when they come back with the food, what they say to Jesus. He says, verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus hasn't eaten anything physically. He's speaking spiritually here. He says, what is it that feeds me spiritually? It is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's what nourished Jesus. Jesus says in chapter 5 and verse 17, my Father is always at his work. To this very day, and I too am working. Jesus was never off duty. He was always evangelizing, and it was his spiritual buzz that fed him to evangelize and to share this message of Jesus Christ. He's tired physically. Yes, he is. He's sitting by the well because he is tired physically. But the spiritual feeding, the spiritual food, is to tell other people about his Father. That's what gives him this energy and buzz. God's work is what truly delights and energizes Christians as well. Ever feel flagging spiritually? I wonder how often you share the good news of Jesus with other people. Something that will feed you, that will encourage you, that will give you an absolute buzz in your Christian life. Let me ask you about something. Where are the places that you're off duty? Where is it that you're off duty as a follower of Jesus? Are there places that you think in your heart of hearts, in your head, that God wouldn't be at work there? God wouldn't be at work in there. Those people, he's not at work in our place. There are people that are godless. God's not at work in my family. My family are godless. I mean, it's just, God's not working there. God's not working around in our estate. He's not working over here because it's godless. God's not working in Downpatrick because, Let me ask you, is your work the one exception to all the rule where God is at work? Is your home the one home in all the world of billions of people around where God's not at work? Is Downpatrick the one town that's the exception to the rule where God is not at work? The fact is, God is at his work. Yeah, let me illustrate it for you. I used to go out on a Saturday night giving out bits of literature and trying to talk to people, just to share that very simple message with people in Newton Ards and Bangor. And I can remember going into Newton Ards one night, and Newton Ards is a rough hole at night. You'll agree with that. I've lived in it, and it's not that I don't like Newton Ards. I love Newton Ards. But an outside a bar in Newton Ards, and it was the roughest of the rough bars, I took a little piece of literature and gave it to a guy who was absolutely steaming outside. And the smoking ban was great because everybody had to come out for a smoke. And I gave him a piece of literature and he says, I'll tell you what you can... And he told me where I could put my literature and what I could do with myself. And the guy coming along behind me, who was with me, he says, how are you? Because he knew him. And next thing, he started to talk to him and I came back. And the guy says, listen, there's not a Saturday morning I don't wake up with a hole the size of a basketball. He says, I just feel empty. I've got nothing in life. I'm down here every weekend. It does nothing long term for me. I'm just empty. I need something else. To share that message of Jesus with him, he says, listen, I want that. Will you call round to the house? I says, dead on, I'll call round on Monday night. And to go up to his house, and he'd come home from work early, tidied the house and put the kids out so that we could talk. And when I texted him during the day, thinking, he'll not want to speak, see me, he's full drunk on Sunday. He's glad to see me. He says, yeah, do come up. Shared the same story over again, and he down on his knees in the house and said, listen, I want this. I said, God, will you forgive me for my sin? Will you take me into a relationship with yourself? And see a life totally transformed. Even coming into town here to meet a guy, came to see me one day, and he says, listen, can you tell me how to have a relationship with God? I need to find him. I'm 40 years old, and I have tried to lead my own life myself, and I've made a mess of it. And to be able to share that good news with him. And to ring a week later and say, listen, I've found him. And to be able to go and see him. He lives elsewhere, but I've seen him over the last 3 years growing, changing, and developing into a man who's serving God and wants him to work in his own life. Are you expecting God to be working in your daily life? Are you seeing that the places that you go into and work, God is already there at work before you go in? Are you sharing this good news of Jesus with everybody else in the expectation that God is actually working in their lives? Because I can tell you now, if you start to do that, you will see God at work in people's lives. God is there working. Or do you think to yourself, you know, there's places just God isn't working. You know, Murphy's there on a Saturday night, and everybody coming out, that God's just not there. God's not working at the football club. You know, those fellas are hellions. God's not working up with the RGU there. You mean he's not working in there. God's not working in Asda when I'm down doing the shopping with the people that are there. God's not working in the gym when I go there. Not that I'm speaking to somebody else here. God's not working in the coffee shop where I like to go for coffee, you know, with the people who work there. He's not at work in those places. He's not at work in my home. Or do you sometimes think to yourself, I'm off duty? You know, I'm socialising at the minute. This is a different compartment. I don't share this here. Or I'm at work at the minute. I don't share this here in work. Or when I'm exercising, that's me on that me time. I don't share it when I'm out there. I don't do it when I'm on holidays. Folks, will it change how you live to really believe that God is working wherever you go? Do you really believe that? Because that's the truth. God is working in your family. He's working in your workplace. He's working in bars and restaurants and towns and clubs. And God is at work. And what he's looking for is people who are willing to go out and do the one job that you've been given to do. To make disciples of people. And I'm telling you now that this is the Bible. It says if you're willing to do that, you will see people's lives transformed. And what you'll see is that you'll be spiritually fed and nourished and excited as you do it as well. The second thing that sort of comes out of the first, if you expect that God is working everywhere, the fact of the matter you can derive from that is that God has been working everywhere. God has been working everywhere. The disciples, when they went into town, thought to themselves, God wouldn't be at work here. And even if he is at work here, what would he do? Like a short conversation when I'm handing over change at the shop, what's that going to do? It's probably just going to make the girl irate in the shop. It's probably just going to annoy somebody. What is the point in me sharing this with anybody? What would it achieve? A short chat. Jesus, on the other hand, knows that his Father's been working. He knows that he's working in people's lives. And every person that you meet, God has been at work. And if you start to see that, what you'll see is that there's no failed evangelism. None. Because when you start to speak to somebody, what you're actually, your conversation may move an atheist to become an agnostic. Somebody who says, well, you know, there's no God. To somebody who says, well, I don't know everything of all the knowledge in all the world to say that there's no God. There may be a God. It may move someone who's been not been thinking about God or anything about it to saying, well, I've never actually thought about that. And they start to think about the things of God. It may take a blockage out of somebody's way that's been sitting in the path of them putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That one conversation you have. The Bible makes it clear that I would doubt that there's very many of you, if any, that became a follower of Christ the first time that you heard somebody tell you this gospel message. It takes a series of messages. Messengers coming who build those links in that chain, who move you along that line and say, well, listen, I'm thinking differently than I was 6 months ago. Something's going on with me here. I wouldn't have thought that a year ago. I wouldn't have thought that. But if you're not opening your mouth, those chains aren't being put in place. And you're not getting the buzz from it. You're not getting the spiritual growth out of it. You're not getting the encouragement out of it. Verse 35, look what it says. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes. Look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. God was out there planting in Sychar long before Jesus got there. It wasn't just they rocked up and these people suddenly saw God. No, God had been at work in those people's lives long before Jesus and the disciples ever arrived. And God has been working here in the people of Downpatrick. Long before you'd ever thought about spiritual things, long before you thought you'd ever be sharing this message with other people. And the call from Jesus Christ to you here this morning is verse 35. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Take a look that there are people in our community, there are people in your family, there are people in your workplace, people at the gym, people in Asda, people in all the different places who are ripe for the gospel and ripe for hearing it. That's not me fantasizing this. This is the word of God. That's what God's word on it says. Open your eyes. Look at the fields. They're white to harvest. They're ready to go. Do you know, that's a real encouragement to me. It means that I never have a wasted day if I speak to somebody about Jesus Christ. It's not a wasted conversation. Even if I feel foolish, even if I think, oh, that didn't go terribly well, even if I think the person's annoyed with what I've said, all of those things are used by God. But he's asking you, are you doing the one job that you've been given to do, to open your mouth, to speak. You know, I had to take a service last, about 3 Sunday nights ago in Carriduff, and there's a lady there who's their youth and family worker. And she said, hi, Owen. And I said, hiya. And she said, do you remember me? I said, no. She said, well, you know, it's Naomi, and she told me her name. She said, I used to come to your Good News Club. And I felt really old. I thought she was sort of somewhere around about my age, you know. She says, I used to come to your Good News Club in the West Winds. I said, right, did you? She says, I remembered her, and her granny used to bring her. And she sat there for years and years, listening to those stories about Jesus. Left, went to secondary school, and used to ask the granny about her, how's she getting on? No interest. Way out into the world of work, no interest. And somewhere along the line, somebody else has spoken to her and she has had interest because those chains have all linked up. And there she is back serving God. And it's funny how that verse comes into being there, that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. I couldn't have been more happy for the girl than the fellow who, or whoever it was, that pointed her to Christ. That there's somebody who has come into a relationship with them through a series of events. Yeah, I've been planting. Somebody else has reaped the benefits of that. The very last thing I want you to see from this, that Jesus wasn't just happy with one. He didn't get the woman coming from the well and say, well, yeah, there we go, 1-0. Jesus, there we are, good stuff. No, he's pushing on and says, listen, let's see about the whole town. Away you back in there and tell the people that you're amongst. Tell your husband to come out. You know, and that leads to a conversation where the whole town come out. She goes in and says, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Those people are looking at her and saying, listen, if he knows everything you ever did and he could love you, he could love anybody. And so they all start to come out. And what they discover is what other people discover as well. Look at verse 42. We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know. What is it that they know? That this man really is the Savior of the world. They know for themselves that Jesus is the Savior of the world because he saved them. And folks, that's an amazing thing that people in our community will find. If you're willing to go out and do the one thing that God's asked you to do, to go out and share this good news of others. If you don't know that gospel message, learn it. Learn how to share it with somebody. Very simply what it is. It's like a fireman saying, I don't know how to put out fires. If you're a Christian and not sharing, don't know the gospel. But are you willing to go out in this community and do that? That's the question. There's no unsuccessful attempts at that. You may muck it up. You may say the wrong thing. You may do. But they're all links in a chain. And some of you will be sowers. Some of you will have the buzz and privilege of leading people to Jesus Christ in a relationship with him. And it is a spiritual buzz that will just surpasses any drugs, drink or anything else that you will ever have. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that you would help us to be people who are obedient. Lord, you give everything you had for us. You give your only son to die on a cross for us. And Father, you've called us to a one-purpose mission, to go to every nation and to teach them this gospel. Lord, help us to do that in our families. Help us to do it in our workplace, in our town, in Asda. Lord, no matter where we are, help us to do that. And Father, help us to do it with the knowledge that knowing that you are at work everywhere. There's no lives that are out of bounds and there's no place that are out of bounds. And Father, we go there too with the knowledge knowing that you've already been at your work. Give us that confidence to trust in your word. Lord, to fulfill the mission you've given us. And Father, Lord, to see many lives transformed just as you're transforming our lives as well. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.